All right, let's pray. Lord, Lord, I pray that you'd show us the glory of this text. Lord, you'd help us to understand it. Lord, and you'd manifest yourself to us, we pray, in this time. Pray for help, for me to be able to communicate it well with your help, to be able to hear it well. Lord, and show us something of the glory of it, we pray, in a great measure. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray to know your love, Lord. And pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to try to speak to you today from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And the title of the message, you could say, is simply, pray Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Or pray to have a greater manifestation of the love of Christ. Read the text here. It says here in the ESV, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ." In the King James, New King James, it says to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think. You notice how it's connected with this prayer to know the love of Christ. Now to him who is able to do far abundantly more, than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Prayer here of Paul in the book of Ephesians. I just want to show you how he is praying. You can kind of get lost in the details, perhaps. You can see the bigness of it. There's a lot of details there, but I think it's very clear as you look at it. He is praying for them to know the love of Christ. There you see it. One in verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, you can see how big of a prayer that it is. Like if somebody tells you they're going to give you a sum of money, let's say it's a multimillionaire, they're going to give you a sum of money according to their wealth. You would expect a big sum of money coming your way, right? But here, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It's a big prayer. It's something supernatural. It's from the Spirit of God. It's in the inner man, in your inner being, for all the saints, we see, but it's in the individual there, right? As far as in our inner being, all the saints, yes, but me personally as a believer, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You say, well, isn't it true that Christ already dwells in the believer's heart? We know Galatians 2:20 that I've been crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We know we have the Spirit of God within us. He is called the Spirit of Christ. Isn't it true Christ already dwells in the believer? Yes, but this has to do with influence, has to do with the idea as a permanent dwelling, that Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith would be to the full and it impact every area of our life. And then it says here that Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. Right there, being rooted and grounded in love, what are we talking about? Are we talking about our love for other brethren? I mean, that's something that's spoken about, our love, Christ-like love to the world. I think that's what it's getting at in chapter 5, verse 1 as well, even though that has to do with the brethren. Is it our love towards the Lord, towards others, or is it Christ's love for us? And I think it is connected, because I'm going to say that the emphasis is the love of Christ for us specifically. I'm going to prove that to you. But it does make sense that as we know the love of Christ for our soul, we grow in love for others. When we're filled with the knowledge of his love for us, we love other people better with that Christ-like love. And it is the emphasis in the text, the love of Christ, even though it has the idea it has fruits of our love for others, is true. But rooted and grounded in love is that our roots would go deeper into the love of Christ for us in comprehension, supernatural comprehension imparted in our soul by the Spirit of God. And I think that is the love of Christ, because you see there in verse 18, I think verse 19 already, I mean, to know the love of Christ. And as I pointed out in the New King James, it just says to know the love of Christ, right? Sometimes, I mean, we're looking at it, you might think, and to know the love of Christ. Maybe he's talking about something different. Here's changing subject. It's the same idea through the whole thing. And I think verse 18, or obviously verse 19, to know the love of Christ, that's what we're talking about. But verse 18, when it's saying, after it said in 17, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Those are dimensions. Those are, you know, if I were to, that those are dimensions of something. To be able to understand, the idea is that the dimension of Christ's love would be before our eyes and we would understand it. I think it proves that it's talking about the love of Christ, because I don't think that we would be beholding this big thing before our eyes to be able to understand our love for other people, right? We're talking about the love of Christ, the dimensions, the height, the depth, the length, and the width of his love. Now, there's probably many different preachers that would take this text and do a sermon series on this, talk about the breadth of his love, the length of his love, the height of his love, the depth of his love. I think more that would probably be very encouraging, but the idea is that it dimensions. I think he's talking about comprehension, that we would understand something. Like if you're an engineer and I tell you about all the different dimensions of a building, and in your mind, you can comprehend, you understand those dimensions, you know how to read it, and you're understanding, okay, I got a good idea of what this building, what this thing is going to look like, what it is. And that's the idea here. He wants us to be able to comprehend, you see it in 18, to comprehend with all the saints. And this is a supernatural understanding of the love of Christ through the scriptures. And notice it says in verse 19 as well, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, which is interesting. Because we talk about sometimes, oh, the love of Christ for us is so deep that we can't understand it. It so blows your mind. We talk like that probably too much, I would say, based on this text, perhaps you could say. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. He's praying that they would know what cannot be known unless the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, is giving us revelation to understand the height and the depth and the length of the width of his love. And the whole thing in this prayer is that he's praying that that would happen. He's praying that you would know that which cannot be known to the natural mind, that which cannot be known even to the believer, unless you pray this prayer, to know the love of Christ, to know that which cannot be known. The Lord wants us, and he's telling us through Paul, he wants us to have a big understanding, ongoing revelation imparted by the Spirit of God in our soul of the love of Christ for us. And it's absolutely necessary to your life as a Christian. I would say it is the thing. It is a prayer that's connected with chapter 1, where you see after Paul has just laid out, this love of Christ is not some vague thing, right? It has substance behind it, has theological truth, deep insight behind this love of Christ. But we need more light on it. And that is, if you want to do a connection between the prayer here in Ephesians 3 and the prayer there in chapter 1, after he's talked about, you know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all that. He's talked about our predestination. He talked about our adoption to the praise of his glorious grace, accepted in the beloved, redemption, forgiveness, all this glorious thing sealed with the Holy Spirit. He goes right in chapter 1 in verse 15. He says he's praying for more light, right? They understand, but he's praying for more light. And he talks specifically, right, that the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom, more of the spirit to wisdom, to revelation of wisdom and of revelation and knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Haven't we already been enlightened? Yes, but we need so much more. We're supposed to be growing in a greater manifestation of this enlightenment, that you may know the hope. You see there, hope. We have inheritance of the saints, riches of his glory, immeasurable greatness of his power. So how is that connected with the prayer in chapter 1, with the prayer in chapter 3? They're both praying for more light, more supernatural revelation of the gospel. And I think that it is the same thing as the love of Christ in chapter 3. I don't think it's like two crazy separated different prayers. It is chapter 1 would be more, if you will, at least in part, the substance behind the love of Christ. Sometimes when we think about the love of Christ, we, because of our backgrounds and things like that, we've heard it very watered down. It's been very light. You see a lot of people singing about the love of Christ, and they're from groups that don't really have a deep theological understanding of the scriptures. And we need to understand, when we're talking about praying about understanding the love of Christ for us in the gospel, it is filled with substance. It is filled with scripture. It is filled with supernatural understanding. And we need more light on this thing. We need to pray Ephesians 3 more earnestly. That's my message, to be able to understand the love of Christ for us in the gospel. And in all the things that we would study, all the deep theological truths that we would study, if you want to talk about the person of Christ, you want to talk about whatever thing you may be going deeper into the scriptures, we need to make sure that we're studying it in such a way, praying Ephesians 3, I would say, for more light to be able to understand that truth, and it would lead us to understand more the personal love of Christ. For his church, yes, but for me as an individual, right? The whole phrase of the Bible is a love letter to you. You know, we've heard that put very cheaply a lot of times. And then what we can do is overreact to that. But what we're going to see, this understanding of the love of Christ for us does not make us light, does not make us watered down. To the contrary, makes us extremely, extremely deep in the Lord. And he wants us to have it more and more. He wants us to be full of this revelation. And isn't that interesting? In verse 19, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What is being filled with all the fullness of God here in this text? It is a supernatural understanding through the scriptures of the love of God for you. Isn't that amazing? You would never put it that way, probably. And is that how we talk too, right? Be filled. One of the things is filled. That's the Christian life, being filled, right? And we think about being filled with the Spirit right there in chapter 5 as well. It's connected with knowing the love of God in Christ, to know the love of Christ for us, to be filled with the fullness of this revelation. He wants our cup full, brimming over with understanding His love. Not to glorify ourselves in any way. No, we're talking about glorifying Him, right? This is to the praise of His glorious grace. And the believer understands that very well. And what Paul's doing here, he's praying, all this first chapter, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, laying out very deep theological truth of the gospel, right? As we already said, chapter 2 talks about how we're dead in trespasses and sins. He's made us alive, His great love of which He's loved us, talking about how we've been grafted in, right? We're joint heirs with all the saints and all these things. And He's praying that we would understand the glory of that more and more, that we would see, be able to look at it and see through the scriptures the height, the depth, the length, and the width of His love. He wants us to be able to say more and more, like Octavius Winslow said, what a boundless, fathomless ocean. He wants us to realize it. He wants us to understand it. He wants us to see this mountain of the love of God for our souls more and more. I use that illustration of a mountain. I think it's connected there with the text in the sense of dimensions, right? I mean, if you've ever seen some of the mountains in Monterrey, Mexico, for example, there are certain times where you can't see the mountain so clearly. There could be the light isn't shining exactly on the certain aspects of the mountains like at other times. If we just think about a huge mountain, perhaps Mount Everest, you know, you can't see these mountains, you can't see the very top of them because of the clouds and all those things that are there. You see the foothill of that mountain and you know this mountain is great, this is awesome, but you can't fully grasp the whole mountain. But this prayer, God wants us to be able, as we pray this prayer, He will begin to part the clouds. You will be able to see more highly than you've ever seen. The light of the sun of his sun of illumination there. I'm talking about S-U-N, sun of illumination there. The Spirit of God illuminating the gospel before our eyes, the love of God in Christ for us. You will begin to see more details, more depth. You'll be able to see, oh, the height, the depth, and the length, and the width of His love. And that will have big impacts on your life. And this idea of dimensions, I think it's the same idea, or at least very closely related to what we see there in Psalm 103, when it talks about the steadfast love of the Lord, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so is the Lord's steadfast love for us, as far as the east and from the west. We're talking high, we're talking as far as you can go this way, we're looking at that. You can go outside right now and look and like, boom, that's an illustration. God wants us to have that before our eyes through the scriptures to see, wow, look at the love of God in Christ for me. This is interesting too, because Paul, being pastoral, under the inspiration of the Spirit, of all the things that he could have prayed for the Ephesian Christians, he's praying for more light in chapter 1, and he's praying this prayer in chapter 3. Isn't that interesting as far as what did he think was their greatest need? What was the thing that he was? And it says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. I mean, you could say, well, that's just a posture of prayer, and that's just kind of how he prayed. But, you know, people bow their knees, too, when they're desperate as well. I think there's something there that he's bowing his knees. He's like, this is the thing that I want for the Ephesian Christian. This is what they need. This is what's going to really help them and going to be the gas, the power behind living out chapter 4, 5, and 6. That has to do with Christ's likeness, has to do with being light in the world, has to be with being imitators of God, has to do with marriage, has to do with all these areas of life, has to do with standing in the midst of spiritual warfare that the devil's strategically trying to take you down. What's going to cause them to live it all out? A manifestation, an ongoing, I would say, manifestation of the love of God in Christ for them on a continual basis, an increasing measure until they get the glory. That's what you need. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we can diagnose spiritual health. Well, how's somebody doing? Oh, yeah, well, they're coming to all the meetings. That's great. But another question, a deeper question, a more spiritual, Paul-like question would be, how is this brother or sister doing and growing in understanding the love of God in Christ for them? Is there increasing revelation? Has it been greater? Is he increasing in this? Is she increasing in this? Is she praying Ephesians 3? Is she seeing it as a central thing in their life? That's how he, I would say, thought about it. You need to know the love of Christ. And this is not icing on the cake, right? Like, it could be helpful to know the love of Christ, or one of those things where, oh, of course, know the love of Christ. No, this is, I would say, this is the greatest need in your life. Yes, Christ, but what about Christ? The hymn, how glorious he is for me in the gospel. And if I'm, if you would say maybe I'm overstated, I would say you're probably understated in a big way. That is my encouragement today, to pray this prayer, to know the love of Christ. And what will happen as we pray to know the love of Christ? I'm going to give some things here. I'm going to talk about the impact. But I just want to say, just so you understand what I'm saying, I just want you to pray this prayer hard for the rest of your life. And pray it for me. Pray it for the church. Pray it for brethren that you know. Pray for the Christians throughout the world to know the love of Christ more. And watch what happens. Watch what happened. Put it to test for some months in your life. Ask people to pray it for you. You'll see. You'll know. You'll taste and see the reality of this prayer. What will be, even if you don't understand it completely, even if I'm not explaining it exactly right, God knows exactly what it means. And if you're praying this prayer, he's not going to keep you to the side with it. He's going to show you exactly what it means. What will be the impact of this prayer on your life? If you pray Ephesians 3, there will be direct impact on your maturity as a Christian, on your Christ-likeness. You think about Christ-likeness. You need to grow in Christ-likeness. How many of us, even if you've had tons of years in the Lord, how many of us the mind goes exactly, directly to knowing the love of Christ as a means to sanctification? I don't know if we think like that. But Paul, I think, is showing us something here. Why do I say that? If we know the love of Christ, if we have more of a supernatural revelation of the love of Christ, we will be filled with the fullness of God. And that word fullness is what's leading me to talk about our maturity. Our maturity, because where else does fullness happen? Well, it happens in chapter 1 verse 23 talks about the church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. But there's also another place that it talks about it. It's in chapter 4 when it talks about our maturity. It talks about our life as the body. There in chapter 4 verse 13, he says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Same word, filled with all the fullness of God. Chapter 3, knowing the love of Christ, a supernatural manifestation of the love of Christ to your soul. Fullness of Christ in chapter 4, having to do with maturity. Having to do with maturity in Christ. The body maturing, growing. And how does that work? Well, I would just say 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we know the love of Christ for our soul, he is before our eyes and we're beholding him. And as we behold him, we're being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit of God's being prayed for here, that according to the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being to know the love of Christ. The connection there, brethren. What a thing to think about your sanctification. You need to know more the love of Christ. And what a thing too. How am I gonna grow? Praying Ephesians 3, seeing more how much he loves me in the gospel. The love of God is displayed for me in the cross. More and more. What will be the impact of your soul if you pray this prayer? The practical living out of the Christian life, as we've already said, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6. If there's a lack of motivation, the Christ-likeness, a lack of motivation in the marriage, standing up against spiritual warfare, being light, purity is talked about in chapter 5. What do we need? What's going to be the gas behind all that? What's going to be the motivation factor? It is the knowing the love of God in Christ for us, brethren. Not just knowing it by taking it by faith. We need to believe, yes. I think, though, as we pray this prayer, we're going to have more grace to believe the love of Christ. That will be a direct result of it. We're going to have more grace to take the promises for ourselves. He's talking to me. He loves me. But there's going to be a motivation, brethren, and there's going to be real growth in those areas, real power in those areas. What a thing, brethren. If what I'm saying is true, this is where we need to be focusing in a real sense. What about the impact on your own soul? Pray in Ephesians 3. Even if it wasn't all these other things about, yes, living out the Christian life and maturity, yes, what if it just the impact on your own soul? I think you should be praying. Ephesians 3. I think it's all connected. What's the bride say there in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. You pray Ephesians 3 hard, you keep going after it, you're going to be able to say that. His love is better than wine. I'm experiencing that right now. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. There's going to be satisfaction in your soul. There's going to be drinking of the water. His spirit glorifying Christ in your own soul, and you tasting and seeing the Lord more and more, having the soul satisfied. It's going to impact, if you will pray this prayer, it's going to impact your closeness with Christ. You're going to be able to say more with the bride there, I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. That the Christian, that sometimes we can live at a distance when we see our imperfections, where we want to grow, what's going to help us live near the Lord. Praying Ephesians 3 and knowing the love of God in Christ for us, that he doesn't want us living at a distance with him. He wants us to know that he's in pursuit of us, his love for us. We're already in his chambers. He's already brought us there, and he wants us to experience that reality. We're going to be able to have more grace when we read, my beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. You're going to be able to be more alone with the Lord as you pray Ephesians 3. You're going to be more encouraged to be there, not see the spiritual disciplines as this duty thing that basically you just kind of got to do it, but you don't really want to do it. No. To see the spiritual disciplines as rivers that lead us more to the ocean, experiencing his love more and more, the glories of Christ and the gospel and his personal love for me through that. There's going to be, if you pray Ephesians 3, there's going to be a greater impact on the world. You're going to have a greater impact on the world. I would just say, if you want to just hold it there in the book, when it says, be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. You know, it talks about us being lights in the world. It doesn't make sense. A greater measure of the understanding of the love of God of Christ in us in the gospel. We're going to imitate him, reflect him more in the world, in the workplace, in the streets, in our families. But there is a text that is, you probably already thought about it perhaps. How's this going to impact us? The love of God of Christ. How's it going to impact the world? How's it going to impact the brethren? For the love of Christ controls us or compels us or impels us. There it is. Motivates us, compels us, impels us, controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might not no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So be careful here. We talk about dying to self, but you try to disconnect that from knowing the love of Christ, you're not going to have much power in that. And I think you might have a skewed vision too, something of the Christian life. Knowing the love of Christ will cause you to want to die to yourself, to have more of Christ, to have more of this reality of the love of God in your soul, and it's going to spill out to other people. What a thing, brethren. But knowing the love of Christ more and more, a supernatural revelation, and we don't know it as we should, but how are we going to know it? Should we just say, well, through a glass dimly, we see there's a reality to that. But Paul right here is praying that we would know the love of Christ on this side of eternity. And he's bowing his knees before the Father for that. And he's seeing as a direct central thing in our Christian life. And we're going to see how, with a possibility, what is possible in regards to all this for us. Seeing his love for you, more of a supernatural revelation. I'm saying we need a supernatural revelation that comes through prayer, through praying this text. Seeing his love for you will make you long for the lost to be saved more. I think you could prove that with Paul as well. The mercies of God that he's laying out, even as he lays out the election and everything like that. What do we say? I would desire to give my own salvation for them. My desire is that they would be saved. And I would just say too, as far as the lost person here today, the person without Christ, it's true, no man seeks for God. No man wants Christ, it's true. But let us not forget, man created in the image of God is such a big thing. You see echoes of this, man longing for a perfect relationship, where someone loves them perfectly and it satisfies their soul. You see it in music. You see it in what people long for. You see what women would sin to be able to get from a man. And all these things, a longing for relationship, a longing for love. And every person created has been hardwired, being created in the image of God, longing for this perfect relationship because we were made to know God. Lost person here without Christ. This is it. This is what, you go after sin. You naturally don't want the Lord, but that which you long for, this satisfaction in love, whatever way you look for, here it is. Jesus Christ. He steps forth and says, I'm it. You can get in on this. You can get plunged into this ocean of the love of God today. He died for you if you will believe. You will be wrapped up in this thing. And you will enjoy it for all of eternity. Repent. Believe the gospel. Trust in Christ. What will be the impact of praying Ephesians 3 on the church? Crazy impact. When the church is filled with an increasing revelation of the love of Christ for them in the gospel, there is more and more a sense of glory in our souls, in our meetings, in our fellowship. There is more and more maturity, and there is more and more advance of the gospel. I always think about Hudson Taylor with all of his zeal and all of his missionary zeal and enterprise. He writes the book of the Song of Solomon, trying to help Christians understand the love of God of Christ for them in their soul. Maybe he wrote that on vacation? He just kind of took a break and he kind of started focusing on that? I don't think so. That was the fuel behind all that he did, brethren. And even if you're never on the mission field, a life laid down for Christ, you want the fuel, you want the, I keep wanting to say combustible, but whatever the fuel it is, what is the fuel? It is knowing the love of God in Christ for your soul. That's what we need. We ought to be praying in our prayer meetings more, in our personal lives, for our leadership, for individual Christians, for our own soul, more and more, for the other churches that we know about. And our practical, the impact will, if we pray Ephesians 3, as we already said, the practical day-to-day, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Sometimes you look at this text, be imitators of God, and somebody will take it out and talk about all these different ways that you can imitate God. But what's he getting at in verse 2? He's talking about the love of Christ. the beloved children, be like your Father. How? By being like the Son in verse 2. By being like Christ. How? What kind of being like Christ? Being like the love of Christ that he showed as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us there on the cross, right? A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He's calling us to be that. And as we know more of that love, as we know how much we've been forgiven, he who has been forgiven much, what's it say? Loves much. And what happens when we start choking people for a few cents, right? When we've been forgiven a ton, we're not understanding the love of God in Christ for our own soul. And the way to get over that, the way to have more victory in that, pray in Ephesians 3. Knowing more the love of God in Christ for you personally. What a thing. The impact on the day-to-day, the impact on in the family, the impact on your own holiness, brethren. A greater manifestation of the love of Christ in your soul will never make you passive when it's real. You have to understand that. It'll never make you passive. Never. And we have to be careful here, right? Because there can be an idea, I think, in our minds, because of our backgrounds, a heavy focus on the love of Christ for me and my own soul, perhaps in some way it can make me a little bit less vigilant or on guard, kind of set me at ease to where I'm not seeking to press on hard after the Lord. I would say that's impossible. That's impossible when it's real. The manifestation of the love of God in Christ in your soul will actually make you go harder than ever after the Lord and more holy than ever before the Lord. And I tell you what will hinder us if we think that a strong emphasis in my soul, in my mind and heart of the love of Christ will not help us. One of the things that the enemy seeks to do is to lead our thoughts astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. He doesn't want the warmth. He doesn't want us to bask in his love. He doesn't want us resting in the Song of Solomon realities and living that out. We have to be careful, right? Sometimes I had a conversation, a person, just the holiness. When he thought about the holiness of God is almost like kind of live more at a distance with the Lord. He doesn't want us doing that, brethren. He wants us under, yes, this holy God, but this holy God that it should smash me in hell forever has accepted me in the beloved. And now I'm in his courts and I know him and I'm going after him. And the revelation of love of God in Christ for me will make you more holy. The revelation of love of Christ will give you more and more grace to persevere all the way until the end. And in all these things, God will be glorified. That's what we're talking about in 21. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It will be to the glory of God, to the praise of his glorious grace. And how is this connected? Knowing the love of God in Christ for our souls and the glory of God. It is connected. He exalts himself to show us mercy, right? It is connected. The glory of God and our satisfaction in the love of God for us in Christ are intricately connected, brethren. It will be to the glory of God. And what is the possibility of praying this prayer? How much can you have this side of eternity of knowing the love of God in Christ for your soul? Look at verse 20. Okay, let me just kind of read the text one more time, just kind of remind you here. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far abundantly more than all we can ask or think. The majority of times we think about this verse, the mind goes directly just prayer in general. And I think it is an implication. I'm not going to take that from you at all. But notice it is connected with the prayer to know the love of God of Christ for you. That's the context. That's what he's talking about. He's not changing subjects here, I don't think. Even though there's implications, the prayer in general. How much of the love of God and Christ can be manifest in your soul by the Holy Spirit in this side of eternity? Far abundantly more than all you could ask or think. That means whatever you have tasted now of the love of Christ, and every Christian in measure has had revelations of his love through the scripture, through the song, the truth communicated in song, and through the brethren and all these things, right? But we have to, every one of us, no matter how many years you've been in the Lord, we have to realize there's so much more of it to have that we can, there's so much levels, deeper levels of understanding his love for us in the gospel that we can't even understand it in this moment. How it can be in a month, how it can be in 6 months, how it can be in a year. We've only begun to taste the depths of his love. Yes, it's true. We'll spend all of eternity, right? So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Yes, that's what we'll be doing for all eternity, searching it out. But God is saying, don't stop, right? You could say, don't wait, rather, for that too much. Yes, we are waiting, but he's praying that we would be knowing it now in deep measure, far abundantly more than we could ask or think in this life. And actually, the more we have of it, the more fruit we will bear, the more intimacy with Christ, the more love we will have, the more the love of Christ that we will have. I mentioned already, as far as that text, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And it's very possible that sometime that in your life, perhaps you've misunderstood that in some sense. That when you hear about these things about the love of Christ, you hear about reality with God. It says, yeah, one day we'll know. We can't even imagine what it would be like that. Yes, that's true. But Paul's praying that you would know that which cannot be known in this side of eternity, right? Not that we would know all that would be there in eternity and all that. And yes, it's going to, in comparison, but this is a big prayer for this side of eternity, brethren, was what I want to emphasize. And many times people, even preaching this text, you say, yeah, you can't know the love of Christ. It just blows our mind. It's so deep. And we stop there. That's not what you want to do with this text at all, brethren. It's pray it. That's what you want to do. You want to pray it hard. Pray it hard. Don't just say, yeah, it blows our mind, the love of Christ, we can't fully understand it. Seek to understand it, this side of eternity, through praying Ephesians 3. Pray it hard the rest of your life. And it'll be self-authenticating what I'm saying. How will we see his love? Obviously, through the scriptures. Chapter 1, 2, and 3, yes, but all the scriptures, right? That's about Christ, about the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. As we begin to pray this prayer, scriptures will begin to open up to us. We will be able to take the promises for ourselves in a greater way and see the Lord's love in it in more special ways than we have ever seen. Even texts that have been special in the past, those things are wells that you have not gone as deep in those as you can. But praying Ephesians 3, you will begin to see it. You will begin to see more the love of God in Christ in the whole Bible, right? As God is unfolding redemption for us and exalting himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And you'll be able to say more like Paul, he loved me and gave himself for me. There'll be more glory in the cross, more of an understanding there. So I want to say that when I say that how will he manifest his love to us? Yes, through praying this prayer, through a supernatural revelation of this. But I want to say in and through the scriptures, understood with Spirit of Christ illumination. I want to say that on purpose. Because you can be in the scriptures and not really be thinking about the gospel, right? Which is, I think, perhaps a thing where the enemy can lead us astray, maybe ignorance on our part too. In and through the scriptures, understood with the Spirit of Christ illumination. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. there in one place in 1 Peter chapter 1. A Christ-saturated, gospel-saturated view of the Scriptures that is centered on the person of work of Christ. That's what we need. Through the promises that are in Christ are yes and amen in Jesus. We're going to be able to see it as we pray this. I think, too, that as we pray this prayer, I would say that we're going to be able to see His love communicated to our souls through the brethren as well. It does say, with all the saints, there in our text, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. There's a corporate reality here. And I think it's in the individual. We can look back and see the love of God for His church, right? That He loved your wives as Christ loved the church. This corporate reality, yes. But as an individual, as Paul, He loved me and gave Himself for me. There's that kind of just me and the Lord manifesting His love. But I think it is that God, I would say, perhaps, that it is through the brethren as well. Like the practicing of the one another text. This brother encouraging me, you'll be, as you pray Ephesians 3, you'll be able to interpret that more. Man, God sent me, the Lord sent me that verse because He loves me. That brother sent me that. This brother in my life, right? And this encouragement, the love. One, the brethren are going to be more motivated to practice the one another text as we pray Ephesians 3 to lay our lives down for one another. But I think we're going to be able to see it in the brethren more. God's love communicated to me. Oh, he preached that sermon that day, right? He said that part right there. God loves me. The Lord loves me to the glory of His name. That song that they picked there, right? That brother sent me that text that day, that conversation that came up. The thing I wasn't even expecting to talk with anybody. We're just fellowshipping there and boom, help. The Lord loves me. Also, I think, perhaps, I'm just saying perhaps on this point, in our conversations about the love of Christ together, as we speak about the love of Christ, as we speak about Him with all the saints, I'm saying, there will be manifestation in our soul more of the love of God in Christ for us as we touch these subjects together. Has that ever happened to you as we sit around? We begin to talk about the person of Christ. We'll be able to talk about Scriptures, His promises. And it's like, at times, it's like there is a weight of glory in the conversation. There is a weightiness. There is a glory. There is an awesomeness. There is a nearness to the Lord there. Pray Ephesians 3 more times like that. More edify. And just when it's not always like that, just real help, real food, knowing the love of God in Christ as we speak about Him together. And it's an application would be of this point right here. How much are we really speaking about the love of God in Christ for us together in our fellowship? How much do we encourage one another with these realities, right? People going through trials with promises specifically. How much are we thinking this brother's passing through a really hard trial? What does he need? He needs a manifestation greater of the love of God in Christ for him. And brethren, it's not watered down Christianity to know the love of God in Christ for us, because it meant Christ bearing the wrath of God for us. It's not watered down, brethren. This is deep. This is robust. This has many aspects to it, the love of God in Christ for us. And may the Lord help us more and more light. Also, I think one of the ways that God can communicate His love to us, it could be, perhaps, this is kind of more from experience, but I think there are verses for this too, that the interpretation of His dealings with us. As we pray Ephesians 3, when we go through things, good and bad, seemingly bad, and we will be able to interpret that this is the love of God in Christ for me. He loves me. He loves me. There's fountains in the midst of the valleys of communications of His love to my soul. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. We'll be able to say more. Whatever path He leads us down, He loves me. He's communicating his steadfast love to me. He's communicating his faithfulness. We'll be able to believe the Lord more as we pray Ephesians 3 and trust him for his love. Perhaps there could be, brethren, even illustrations of his love in creation, seeing Christ more and more in the gospel and just all kinds of things, our relationships with one another, children, all that perhaps too. If you want an illustration of creation about Christ in the context of his love, there is one in Song of Solomon as well, right? It says, my beloved is like henna blossoms, this fragrant, beautiful bush. Christ is like that to me in the context of a love relationship. So, just in closing, how much should we pray to know the love of Christ for ourselves and others? I've kind of already been hitting on it. You see Paul bowing his knees. I think there's a desperate need there. I think we need to make sure our focus is there. We're thinking about this. But I think the example of Epaphras is a really good example of how to be praying this. Epaphras in Colossians 4 verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. So he's praying for their maturity, right? I think it's implied we can be praying for our own maturity that way. We need to be praying hard for our own sanctification, but also for others. He's praying for their maturity. You see how he's doing it, struggling, always struggling on your behalf in his prayer. He's wrestling in prayer that they would be mature. Now, we've already heard, knowing the love of Christ for us, and a supernatural revelation through the scripture, the love of Christ for us produces a maturity in us. You see, it's connected. But even if you don't want to say that, I think the example of a man praying here for more maturity here is a way that we should be praying this prayer, I would say. And I like what it says. So I would say, how should you pray this prayer? Now, I'm not putting some law on you or something like that. It's a kind encouragement and to consider praying it this way, brethren, and see what happens. Always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. I like what it says in Spanish because it says, siempre esforzándose intensamente. So that means he's forcing himself intensely in his prayers. It comes out really strong in Spanish in that version. He's forcing himself intensely in his prayers for their maturity. What's going to happen to your life? What's going to happen to the church if we are like that in prayer, praying Ephesians 3? Watch what happens. Everybody do it for about a few months. We're going to see what happens, brethren. Far abundantly more than we could ask or think. The Christian life is about being filled with the fullness of God. If we're empty, brethren, pray Ephesians 3. Pray, it's not right. If you're dry, you're just looking back, or you're thinking manifestations of his love is just kind of special seasons in your life that kind of just like every once in a while or just a season, some years back. Don't think like that. He wants us to be full with the knowledge of his love. And that's going to be the key to everything, I would say. So pray earnestly and look. The Christian life is about being filled with the fullness of God. Being filled with the fullness of God, according to our text here, is a supernatural revelation of the love of Christ, communicated in the deep recesses of your soul by the Spirit of Christ. What is the greatest need in your life? I would say this. And if I'm overstating it, I would say it again. You're probably understating it. An ongoing revelation of the love of Christ in your soul is the greatest need in your life, I would say, and always is. Pray hard and expect and look at him in the gospel, in a gospel-saturated view of the scriptures. Pray Ephesians 3, brethren. Lord, help us in this. We know in a real sense, Lord, what this would mean if we would pray it more earnestly, Lord. We can't even imagine what it would be like, but Lord, help us to go by faith and pray it hard more than ever. Lord, I think about that brother asking me, he'd been praying it for me, Lord. Thank you for that. And I was able to tell him, yes, it has been significant. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.